Two of the greatest things on earth, the start of the NFL season and the Open Championship. I wonder who we can get to talk about both. Oh, yes, Trey Wingo, who has more credits to his name than anybody I know. Pro Football Network, 33rd team, half forgotten history, and will be hosting on Peacock opening rounds of the Open Championship. You are, I know right now you are headed to Golf Channel Studios. You got to be stoked for that.
Adam, it's great. It's a great time of the year. I'm very excited. I love the Open. I love everything about it. It's my favorite golf major, without question. So, yeah, I'm stoked. And also just be happy to talk to you, my friend.
Well, it is also my favorite major, so maybe that's why we get along. All right, well, I want to start with some football things because I think there are more people out here going, what's the deal with Saquon Barkley? I completely understand his position. What is his leverage, really, other than legitimately holding out?
Nothing. And unfortunately, with the new CBA, holding out is going to cost him all kinds of money. You know, like the way this thing was negotiated the last time around was another thing that was kind of a crushing blow to players that don't have the opportunity to get the contract they wanted because of all these fines and suspensions and the dollar amounts that a team can levy. Well, in the previous collective bargaining agreement, the team could say, oh, you know what? We're not going to do that. We settle our differences. Yeah. We're not going to charge that. That's not allowed anymore. You miss, you miss. And so, you know, unless he wants to go full Le'Veon Bell, which, by the way, very interestingly, Le'Veon Bell yesterday put up, or the day before, I can't remember, basically put up an apology to Steelers fans for the year he held out and cost himself $12.5 million and said, what the hell was I thinking? I was wrong. I owe you guys an apology. It was great that he did it, but it just shows you the leverage that does not exist, especially for running backs.
Yeah, it is unfortunate. Look, you and I, we might agree on this or not. The CBA is just, it's one of the most one-sided documents. I compared it to the scholarship agreement, which used to be, I guess there's more freedom for college players now, but it used to be entirely one-sided. And that's the way the NFL CBA feels to me, because these running backs, by the time they get to a place where they might have some leverage, they're basically done as players on average.
Yeah. And it's, you know, I will say this about the CBA. I think the NFLPA knows the battles they can win and knows the battles they cannot. So what they try to do in every situation when they go into negotiation is say to ourselves, what are the things we can realistically get that will benefit the most players and hurt the fewest? And, you know, the idea of less padded practices, less hitting, and a higher guaranteed floor as opposed to a ceiling on the cap. Those are realistic things that help as many players as possible. And, you know, people are like, well, you got to get rid of the franchise tag. Well, that's not going to affect a lot of players. It's not going to affect a lot of players. You got to get Roger Goodell out of discipline. Well, that's not going to affect the most players. And, you know, there are some mitigating circumstances now that we certainly played out for the first time in the Deshaun Watson suspension of a year ago that have mitigated that somewhat. But at the end of the day, those are things that target a small number of players, and the NFLPA has always, their philosophy has been, what's the widest net we can catch to benefit the most people? And that's sort of been their philosophy.
Trey Wingo is joining us here at Wingo's on Twitter, Z at the end, not an S. He will be hosting on Peacock opening rounds of the Open Championship, and I promise we will get to that before we are done having this discussion. I think the thing about Barkley that really kind of jumps out to me, and I'm not knocking Daniel Jones as a player, but the fact that Daniel Jones could command $40 million a year from the Giants and Barkley can't get more than 10 or can't get more than a year it's so hard to process that there has to be some way to kind of alter the structure of this to where we don't have a guy who's basically an average player at his position make that, and a guy who might be one of the two or three best at his can't get a deal.
The position is the position. I mean, mean, unfortunately, you know, Dan Orlovsky went on some show, I can't remember which one it was, that we got to fix this. Well, how are you going to fix it?
Yeah.
Like what are you fixing? It's a market driven by demand. Quarterbacks are in a higher demand. We protect the quarterback.
Yeah.
We make sure the quarterbacks can stay on the field. We do not have those protections in any way, shape, or form for running backs. You are more likely to get hit by being a running back than you are at any other position in the NFL. There was a time when the running back position was the glory position in football. It is not that anymore. And, you know, you look at so many former NFL players, right? And look at the positions their sons are playing. Joe Horn's son, JC. Joey Porter's son, Joey Porter Jr.
Yep.
These guys are playing wide receiver or cornerback because they know that's where the longevity is and that's where the money is. That's what these guys are telling their kids.
Yeah. Deion Sanders' kid's a quarterback. That's exactly. You would never tell your kid to be a running back these days. I talked about this yesterday. When I grew up, man, if you were number 32, if they handed you number 32, you thought you were the greatest running back in the world. But it's not a glamour position anymore. Everybody's still chasing the Kansas City Chiefs. How did DeAndre Hopkins not end up there?
I think at some point, you know, the Tennessee Titans made sweeten the offer because I firmly believe he was waiting to see what Kansas City could do once they renegotiated the deal for Chris Jones, which, you know, I think they're still trying to do. But I think DeAndre felt the need. Look, I gotta get something done here. But before we go on to that, just real quickly, I'm glad you brought that up. There's no doubt denying the Kansas City Chiefs have been the most dominant franchise since Patrick Mahomes took over. But over the last 4 years, they've been to 3 Super Bowls and won 2 of them.
Mm-hmm.
The best running backs for the Chiefs over that time frame, undrafted free agent Damian Williams, third round pick Jerick McKinnon, who they sign every year for pennies on the dollar, and 7th round pick Isaiah Pacheco, not listed their 2020 first round pick, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, whom they all admit was a mistake.
Yeah.
So, you know, when you get that kind of production from those kind of players, that also adds to the problem that the running back market faces.
Yep.
Now, DeAndre, my only concern for DeAndre is he's going to the place where good wide receivers go to never be heard from again. Okay? I mean, the list is spectacular. Randy Moss.
Yep.
Julio Jones. You know, we're talking big names that have gone through, I'm missing one. I can't remember who it is right now. These guys that go and sign Andre Johnson. These guys that go and sign these contracts in the latter half of the year for Tennessee, it almost never works. So, and, you know, DeAndre's thing was what we put out, 3 things. I want a quarterback committed to winning.
Yeah.
I want a stable front office, and I want a championship defense. It's the first year of the new front office in Tennessee. Their quarterback situation could not be more in flux. Kids, when they say it's not about the money, it's always about the money.
Right, and it's okay for it to be about the money. I would just like more Harold Varners of the world to admit that it's all about the money and not about the other stuff. All right, let me get to the Open Championship because you're going to be busy on Peacock. Do you hit the air at 1:35 a.m. when Brandon Grace is in the first group off the first tee at Hoylake?
Weddings are the celebration of all the details that make a couple perfect for each other. And you can find your perfect fit, too, at Indochino. Choose every detail of a custom-tailored suit, from lapels to linings and more, starting at just $4.99. My bad.
Shh. Sorry.
Find the suit that's perfect for you. Go to Indochino.com and use code PODCAST for 10% off any purchase of $3.99 or more. That's 10% off $3.99 or more at Indochino.com. Code PODCAST.
Thankfully, the answer to that question is hell no. We're going to be on the air from 10 to 3 Thursday and Friday. And it's going to be sort of a red zone type coverage, Manning cast, if you will. Billy Ray Brown and I, 3-time winner on the tour.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be bouncing around all over the course, which I'm really excited about. We've got some interviews lined up with former players, current players, and just a whole bunch of stuff. So we're really excited about it. Look, I was there at Hoylake in 2014 where Rory won. You know, it's really interesting. In our golfing lifetime, It's only the third time it's been played at Hoy Lake. They went from 1967 to 2006 without playing it there. Tiger won famously in 2006 when he pulled driver one time in four rounds because the course was so baked out. Rory kind of overpowered the course in 2014 with a driver. I don't think you can do that now because they've had a lot of rain, and the rough has grown up significantly from where it was in 2014. So it's going to play very different. The 10th hole in 2006 and 2014 was a par 5. It's now a par 4. The 18th hole, which is a par 5, has an internal inbound, out-of-bounds fence on the right side that they moved in 20 yards.
Yep.
And they also, if they've added 50 yards to the tee, it's going to play very differently than it did either in 2006 or 2014.
Yeah, Tiger hit iron off of every tee except for three during the course of his win and only won by like five shots. If I'm not mistaken, Sergio dressed like a banana in the final group
The joke we made at the time is he wore yellow pants, so if he was teed next to Tiger, no one'd see if he had a little accident.
Yes. Who do you like?
Well, listen, Rory winning last week was huge, but not just because he won, because the bugaboo for Rory has been his putting, right?
Yeah.
Last year's Open, he had the lead going into the final round, shot under par, didn't make a bogey, didn't three-putt a single green, and lost, which is almost impossible to do. And then last U.S. Open, the putter got him again. What I'm happy about, if I'm Rory, to win the Scottish Open, he needed to make clutch birdie putts on 17 and 18 on Sunday to get it done. That tells me the putter is warming up. And if the putter is warming up for Rory, he's the best striker of the ball there is. The other guy you have to look at is Scottie Scheffler.
Yep.
The last time Scheffler finished outside the top 12 in any event he's played was week 7 of the 2022 NFL regular season. He has been remarkably consistent. And one other nugget here about Scottie. Currently, he's averaging a bogey or worse just over 10% of the time. That right now would be the lowest we've seen since Tiger Woods did it in 2000 at 9.8%. So we're talking about a guy who's been remarkably consistent.
Yep.
And, you're gonna have to hit a lot of really good irons to find a way to win at Hoy Lake.
Yeah, you don't have to be a great putter, but you have to putt well, but you don't have to be somebody who is known as lights out in the green, even though Cam Smith, who is an incredible putter, he won last year, made a lot of putts to do it, but I think you correctly point out Rory kind of left the door open by not being able to finish some of the stuff that he had started. Trey Wingo, too many credits on Peacock tomorrow, 10 to 3, and on Friday, 10 to 3. We'll talk more football with you down the road. I appreciate your time.
You got it, Adam. Take care, buddy.